Blog Talk Radio. Okay, for those of you who are on the show, as I said, we've been having some difficulty on the line, and we really want to get started. We want you to be able to hear the show, and we got kicked off the show for here for a minute, but we're right back on, and let's just continue to get started. Those of you who are with us, and we open in prayer, I hope you heard all the messages and all the actual events that we're going to be doing this coming Sunday. If not, let me repeat it for the sake of those, because, I mean, sometimes this new technology that we're using, it's really been messing up on us. But I'm going to reiterate the information all over again. This coming Sunday, we will not be at our own service. We will be at Light Church at 2606 John West Road. That's in the city of Mesquite, Texas, 75150. And that's under the leadership of Pastor Ron and Vita Shaw at Light Church. And we're going to be over there at the 11:30 service. Those of you who want to call into the church or find out directions, you can call 214-320-5744. So like I say, we've been having some difficulty, but I want you to bear with me during the course of this particular study, because we know the enemy is trying to come in and block what God is saying. We've been on a roll, and God has been really getting some people in and been saved. And we want to make sure that we're going to continue to have you guys as an audience with us during the course of these shows that we've been doing here from Powerhouse Radios. But as I said before, we're going to be at Light Church, 2606 John West Road. And that's going to be in the city of Mesquite, Texas. That's 2606 John West Road, Mesquite, Texas. And the phone number over there is 214-320-5744. That's under the leadership of Pastor Ron and Vita Shaw, a powerful man of God, minister of the word. I'm talking about a great teacher. And as I said before, we will actually cut off from the service, but we're going to get back into this and hear what the word of God has to say. My apologies once again for this misguiding of the system that's been going on, but we've been having some troubles with this. But nevertheless, we're going to move forward and hear what the word of God has to say. We started off with prayer, and I'm going to open up again with prayer and let my wife go ahead, co-pastor Patty Ellis, go ahead and open us up with prayer. For those of you who didn't catch it earlier, we're going to do it again. We're going to make sure you hear the word of God. Co-pastor Patty, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, well, God bless you. She's good. So we're getting connected here. That's going to open up with prayer, and we're going to start over in the book of James. The next verse you will hear is me here, Pastor Ellis here at Harvest New Life, teaching out of the book of James, dealing with hold that tongue. So let's go ahead and let the woman of God open up with prayer before we can get into this word and hear what the word of God has to say on tonight.
We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together once again on this beautiful evening. Lord, help us to be right here, right now with you, that we may hear the direction that you have and that you're speaking through the prophet and through the pastor. Lord, let these words be penetrating to us, Lord. We know that this particular subject of the tongue is so important that we deal with day in and day out. Lord, let us have the ears to hear this important message that's coming forth. We know that it's a prophetic message that's coming to each one of us. Lord, help us to be sensitive to what you're speaking to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God, as we continue to get ready to get started, get into his word. As I said before, for those of you who didn't get a chance to hear the earlier part of opening up the broadcast, I want you to get your cell phones, your house phone, whatever you may have you, set it in the middle of the table and just get your family and gather around and just put the phone on speaker. Get your pens and your pencil and get your paper pads and take some notes, because this is going to be a very interesting word that's going to take place tonight. And we're going to start this word over in the book of James. We're going to be dealing with the book of James. As we go through the book of James, I want to give you some time to get there. So when we get there, we really want to get started. Usually I kind of just kick right into it, but the Holy Spirit's been prompting me to give the people some time to get in there and get themselves together to get started, because I really want you to hear this tonight. I'm not going to push too quick. I'm not going to push too fast, because I really want you to get this word, and we're going to go at scripture by scripture, and we're going to be dealing with the book of James, and we're going to start at chapter 3 in the book of James. Amen. So the word of James reads like this: "So my brethren, be not many ministers, or be not many masters, knowing that you shall receive a greater condemnation." Now, just dealing with that first part, and I'm going to come back to the first part, that first verse, but I'm going to go to the second verse. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend in words, the same as a perfect man. Now look what he says. Now if any man offends not in words, he's a perfect man, and able to bridle his whole body. Now let's go back to the first verse, and let's deal with that area right there in terms of what James is speaking about in terms of us having a tongue and misguiding and misusing it. James said, don't be so quick to be in leadership. Don't be so quick to be able to speak a word not knowing that you of the mishandling of the word. In other words, don't be so quick to say something out of your mouth that's not pertaining to what the Word of God or the Holy Spirit is guiding you ultimately to believe. In other words, there's been a tremendous problem in the ministry or in the body of Christ. What James does speak about the area of those who call themselves ministers and call themselves men of God, but they mishandle the word. The Word of God does declare and it does decree. They say there are many ministers, but are not enough fathers in the ministry. So the Word of God does speak over in the book of James. In verse 1, he said, my brethren, be not many masters, let's translate it, be not many teachers, knowing that you receive a greater condemnation. Now, anytime you're in a leadership position, and, you know, it talks about the blind lead the blind. If you're a good leader, you're going to lead the people the way they need to go. Now, this refers to the fact that the mishandling of God's word, it ultimately being the transportation or transmitted in such a way that it create a problem in the body of Christ. You know, God holds you accountable. He goes on in the second verse. He said, for in many things we offend all. Now, notice what he's saying. For in many things we offend all. If any man offends not in word, the same is a perfect man. Now, we can stop right there and say nobody has ever been able to bridle a tongue to the point they never said anything to anybody that never offended them or hurting them. You know, because sometimes we always got to be apologetic about the things we do. But one thing about that, when God gives you grace, it doesn't give you a license to misuse the tongue or sin in such a way that, you know, when you say it, you can just go back and just so easily say, well, I'm sorry. So you got to guard yourself in how you say things. Even though God gives you grace when you get mad or angry at somebody, get upset at somebody, it's so quick and easy for us to go back and say, I'm sorry, knowing that what we said the first time, that we meant it. And we made it admit it at the time it was anger, but we didn't bridle ourselves in such a way that we didn't control what came out of our mouth. And not being controlled of what comes out of your mouth leads us back to the book of Romans. And if I may jump back to the book of Romans 12 and 2, it talks about the transformation of the mind. The transformation of mind comes through the process of the Holy Spirit. Your mind has got to be engulfed and it's got to be sparked through the power of God. And when you open your mouth, your mind being transformed, it speaks that what's in the heart. Now, whatever you take in through the heart comes out of the mouth. The Word of God says, out of the abundance of man's heart, the mouth speaketh. So if your heart is not callous, if your heart is still callous, and you're still dealing with issues to the point that you know you got to hold yourself and you've been tempted with anger and you say things to the point that you offend people, then, you can cause some things to really be, you know, not to be to be unbridled rather than bridled. In other words, your body comes loose. Now, when it says that, we got to break it down and we got to look at it for what it is. He said, for in many things we offend all. In many what things? We say a lot of things that we say over the course of the years, and we offended a lot of people. Even me, myself, as a young man coming up and doing some things I ought not to do, I said some things to some people that I ought not to say. And when I became saved, my heart convicted me to go back and be able to apologize to those people. I mean, to be able to call them up and tell them, hey, I'm sorry if I said anything to you or done anything wrong to you. It's because what you want to do, you want to clear your slate. You want to make sure you get it right with God. And if you're able to call the person, call them. If you're able to write them a letter, then write them a letter. If you can't reach that particular individual, then what you need to do is pray to ask God that you'd have done what you're supposed to do to try to get a hold of them. But what you really want to do is try to clear yourself with everybody that you know, you've had some kind of conflict with. And it more so happens in families where brothers and sisters get angry at one another because of some crazy stuff, some unethical reasons. We all get upset at our sisters. Some men get upset at their wives. Some wives get upset at their husbands. And it's really just, you know, the little word when you say just, hey, I'm sorry. You know, can you forgive me? And that's really in the process of bridling your tongue. When you bridle your tongue, you can control the body. Why? Because when you don't know how to control the tongue, your mind is not in line with the Holy Spirit. Remember we said before, whatever a man thinketh comes out of the abundance of the heart. And whatever comes out of the abundance of the heart, that's what he says. He speaks it out. Now, it goes on in the third verse, and it says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. Now, we're talking about some animals. We need to put no bit in your mouth. But some of us need some bits in our mouth to be guided in the right direction. We put bits in a horse's mouth, an animal mouth, that they may obey us. Now, this is what it's saying. Now, think about this. Now, if somebody got a strap you around your head or put a handkerchief in your mouth to keep you from talking because you can't control your mouth when you're saying things to other people to make them feel bad, then that could be a problem. That's something that's a condemnational thing that you got to work on. If you know you're dealing with anger and you know you got a spicy mouth and you got spicy language, that's something that you really have to work on because you're unable to bridle it. But he tells you that a horse obeys before you obey. That a horse, he put a bit in his mouth, and if you pull the horse rein to the left, he goes to the left. You put a rein horse to the right, he goes right. No, he's got him. He's able to control the horse's whole body by a ring or a strap that he has attached to the horse's mouth. But notice what it says, that they may obey us. Now, the animal obeys us according to what we put on the noose, on the rings. If we pull it to the left, we pull it to the right. Now, let's transform that. We need to have some rings of the Holy Spirit on our mind. Then when we go to say something that's not right, we need to know how to pull our mind to the left or pull our mind to the right or just be able to say idle and let God handle it. Sometimes, in most cases, we're so busy and we got so much built up in us. I'm talking about Christian people right now. You know, I'm putting myself in there too. I'm talking about saved folk who go around and speak one thing in the house of God, but outside the house of God, they're a whole nother person. In other words, it's like the book of James says in chapter 1, let not a double-minded man think that he will receive anything, because you're like the shore or the sea. You're wishy-washy. You're Dr. Jekyll. You're Mr. Hyde. You smiles in the church, but you're a demon in the household. You're a minister to the people that are around you. Because why? Because the word makes it very clear. Because behold, the bit that's in your mouth, which should be the Holy Spirit, which is guided by the rings of truth, you ought to know how to obey that. When God pulls you and say, you ought not say that, Pastor Ellis, or you ought to say that, you know, for anybody's names and sake that's out there, and you say it anyway, then you're unbridable. That means you're out of control. And when you get out of control, baby, I'm telling you, you got some problems. Because your mouth gets to the point it gets wicked. And when it gets wicked, it gets spicy. And now, most of us know, when we get upset at somebody, we want to say something out of our mouth. Because we want to get back, we want to tongue whip them. We want to tongue lash, we want to tongue whip them. And it makes us feel good when we say it, but this is the only thing about it. Knowing that you say that, and then you have to come back and know that you shouldn't have said it, then you use grace as a buffer. Well, you know, I'm sorry that I said that. Well, you knew you weren't supposed to say that in the first place. If you got an issue where you're dealing with anger in your life and you're so easily tempted, then that might be the thing that you ought to work on personally. You don't know how to tame your tongue. Well, let's go on and look at something else different. It says in the fourth verse, behold, also the ship. Now, this is these big carnival ships, which is also the ship, which though it may be great, and are driven by force winds. Now, notice what it said. It's driven by force winds. It's powered and governed by something that's of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, it's a nature-driven ship. It's pushed. He's talking about the old colonial ships in the old days, not these motor-powered diesel ships we have right now. When they set the sail on the ship, it's blown in the course of where they set the sail. And when they move the sail, if you ever been on a sailboat to different directions, it shifts the direction of the ship. Along with the sail, along with the stern, and aiming at the turn in the direction you need to turn in. So what the word of God says over in the fourth verse, behold, also the ship, which is driven through a great force wind. Now he said it's driven. Now the ship which though they be driven by a great force wind, yet they turn about with a very small hand. Come on, somebody, if you ain't feeling this. See, what we have, and I include myself and everybody else out there, other pastor too, you in the loop too, and I hear somebody in the spirit talking about, well, you know, if you would say, no, don't even come bring it. Look, take the mask off tonight and commit to some stuff that you got to deal with some stuff in your life. Because even as me as a man of God in the midst of sometimes when things don't go as well as they need to go in the church, I get a little offset about it, and I begin to pray to God about it. But I ask God to hold me and help me to the point that I may understand that the work that I'm doing through him is only through him. I have no reason to get upset about anything. Yeah, we get upset sometimes as men of God when things are not in order, but we don't do it. We correct in love. We don't correct out of anger. We correct in love. But when you're young in the ministry, you don't really understand that these forces are coming at you, and you being a man of God that got control over that very helm, which is your body, and that little sternness in your mouth is called a tongue. If you can't control it, then you're being governed, you've been moving in the wrong direction. Let me say something here, and I'm going to move on, which is going to bring this thing to rest here in the fifth verse. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Notice what it says. Now, let's go back and look at the fourth verse. Behold, the ship, which though it be of a great, so great, is driven by a force wind. Now, the force wind of the ship, meaning the body of the ship, is carried in the way and the direction it is going to be turning. I'm teaching something through the Holy Spirit. You can get in your textbooks if you want to, and I guarantee to line up because the Holy Ghost is speaking right now. Yet are they turned about with a very small, he didn't say small, but a very small helm, whatsoever the governor leadeth. Now, the word governor is a person who's over a large body of people. When he speaks, they move. We look at Moses. The people came out of Egypt, you know, such a large, I mean, I'm talking about 3 million people, not even counting the mixed multitude. He had millions of people following him out of Egypt. But he led out because of the faith that they had, knowing that there was a Messiah coming to bring them out. Now, let's think about that process. All those people were under the helm of a word that came from a man of God who told them that they'd be delivered from the bondages of Pharaoh. No more leeks, no more garlic, no more honey, all that stuff. You're gonna be going out of there. And they believed that, and they went forth as a great nation of people. They walked up out of Egypt carrying more gold than I could never imagine, a back pay for what Pharaoh had been bonded them in and owed to them. Now the word of God says, behold, also the ship. You are the ship. Which though they may be great, not just great, but they be so great, are driven by a force wind. But yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whatsoever the governor leadeth. Now listen to this. Listen to this right here. I want you to show you something here. Even though the tongue is a little member, it is small, but it excretes power to influence. Notice what I'm saying. Boasts great things, responsible for great things. I'm talking to somebody. Whether you be good or bad, it's got the ability to go. It's got the ability to make things good. It's got the ability to make things bad. See, a man, which is President Obama, who's in the White House, our president, God bless him, he got the ability to turn his nation upside down at one flick of his mouth. If he said we go to war, we go to war. The world is in turmoil. You know, if anything he says is governed by him as the body, as the leader over the United States, and even though people may not like it, but he's the president, and they may like him, but he's the president, so goes on with your tongue. Your tongue is the president of your body. It controls all your limbs, all your members, even the brain, which is the helm, which is the force of the power that feeds the tongue, and the heart being a connection. When they come together in unity, the mind, the mouth, and the heart, it all comes, like it says, about the Trinum, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But somewhere it's misconnected. The mind is not connecting with the heart, and the heart is not connecting with the mouth. So there's a misguided somewhere, so something's going to come out in a way that it's negative. And when it comes out negative, it fuels fire. It fuels anger. It fuels dispute. Like he says over in the book of James chapter 1, verse 1. My brother, be not many masters, be not many ministers, nor that you receive a greater condemnation. Now, he's speaking about mishandling of God's word. Not only the misusing of God's word, but the misusing of the words that come out of your own mouth. Romans does declare that your mind has got to be transformed. You know, the matter in your brain has got to be stirred with the Holy Spirit. That before you speak, you got to filter that thing through the Holy Spirit. And you got to ask, is it of God or not? Rather than moving in the flesh. Oh, well, let's keep moving. Let's go over here to the fifth verse again. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Knows what it says. The tongue is a very little member, responsible for great things, whether bad or good. Behold, a great matter it kindles. What great a matter a little fire kindles. The image here projects that James is giving a picture of a vast forest fire. In other words, when somebody says something, when we look at the scriptures, the theological point right here from the scripture reading said, James is imagining this as a forest fire. Once you take a fire, a match, or a lit cigarette forever, what do we hope that you done gave up that stuff. For those who hadn't given it up, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that that small thing, that small fox that's chewing away them, they be dismissed. But what we're saying here in the name of Jesus, that when you take a match or something of great heat and you flick it in such something that's so dry, and when you flick it in something so dry, it causes a forest fire. It causes a little spark, and that thing begins to burn like the thing that happened in Colorado, that great forest fire. The ones that happened in Chicago, those great forest fires, only started by such a small spark or something that maybe hit that grass. And it kindles such a great forest fire. It speaks alone, and so goes with you. As a man of God, as a woman of God, your mouth has got to be tamed and trained. That when you speak even in the midst of your family about something that go on, and you know you're not supposed to be talking about that, but yet you talk about it in such a way that it kindles a fire. That thing begin to spread throughout the whole family. Let me show you what Proverbs says. Proverbs 25 or 23 says, a man that breatheth false witness against his neighbor, not only against his neighbor, but against his fellow brother or sister or mother, whatever it may be. They say he's a maul. I mean, he's like a wooden mallet driving wedges in a sharp spear and sword in an arrow. That means not only does he drive, he keep on pushing it in. That means that thing keep on moving. And when you keep talking like that, what happens is that you'll continue to say something in such a way that it continues to roll throughout the family, and it'll cause a great conflict in that family or with that individual or with those particular people. And I know I'm speaking to somebody this afternoon, because sometimes God has said, you got to know how to control your mouth. Your mouth is what gets you in trouble. And if you don't know how to control your mouth, that's going to be the downfall from your blessings. Now, he says over in the 8th verse, but the tongue can no man tame. Well, why did he say, can no man tame the tongue? This is why James is giving you this very scripture. Your tongue can't be tamed to the point that you're perfect. In other words, he said over here, and let's go back here. In the 3rd verse, he said, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. And we turn about the whole body. It goes on and says over in the 4th verse, behold, also a ship, though it may be so great, is driven by a forced wind. Yet are turned about with a small helm, whatsoever it governs. It's listed. And then it says in the 5th verse. Now we get to it. So I'm lining these first 5 verses up with the 8th verse. And he said that even so in the 5th verse, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold a great, a matter, a little, can, behold, excuse me, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Meaning that such a little problem can cause something. You can say something. You ever heard somebody say something about somebody? Well, I heard that, that stuff even just sounds flaky to me, just gossip. I heard somebody say something about so-and-so. You don't even know what you're talking about. You weren't even there. And matter of fact, if you knew it was going to cause a problem, why would you even say it anyway? And that's one of our problems. We always want to get into gossip. You got to really watch what you say. Proverbs 18 speaks about that. Your tongue, watch your mouth. Be able to hold your mouth in such a way that you don't cause a fire to kindle. That even in your family, when you say something about one of your family members, that thing begin to ricochet throughout the family. Well, I heard that Jolene, I heard that Judy. No, that was, you know what, don't even speak about that. And if they want to tell you about it, let them tell you about it. But you don't need to go out and just insinuate or jump in something that you don't know nothing about. If somebody wants you to know something about them, then they tell you. This is where it comes in verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. Why? Inquisit. Inquiry minds always want to know. Because why? It's unruly. And it's evil. It's a deadly poison. It's always saying something that it don't want to say. Because it's been unbridled. It don't know how to have control. And the only way a man can be controlled is by the Holy Spirit. You got to filter everything through the Holy Ghost. That when you're filtered through the Holy Ghost, what you say will come out right. Even your thought patterns got to be filtered through the Holy Ghost. Now, he says over in the ninth verse, therewith bless we God. Now, look, therewith we, the same mountain, the bittersweet comes out of the same mountain. How can bittersweet come out of the same fountain? The word of God said, how can a fig tree, how can an apple tree bear oranges or fig tree bear, you know, any other fruit that they're supposed to bear? Remember, apple tree can't bear oranges, orange tree can't bear apples. Remember, what he said in the ninth verse here, he said, therewith we bless God. You say you love the God. You say you love the Lord. Even the Father, and therewith we curse we man. Come on, somebody. Even we say we love God, even the Father. But in therewith we curse we man. We curse him. We saw things about him. Well, you know, I heard that he, you know, it doesn't matter that you got to be so spicy that you use foul language in such a way like that. That just lets me tell me, all that tells me that person's got a very limited vocabulary. They don't read, they don't do anything, they don't prolong. Anybody who spices their mouth like that has got a very small vocabulary. The only thing they know how to do is cuss, say bad things about somebody, try to downcast somebody. You know, that's the only way they can get to you. Because they don't know how to use their mind intellectually to the point they know how to reason things out. That's why the Word of God said, let us all try to reason together over in Isaiah 40. Let us reason together. Though all our sins were like scarlet, but God has washed us white as snow, according to Isaiah 55. You know, it talks about the words that we speak. Isaiah 55 says the words that go forth out of God's mouth goes forth. But he says in Psalm 55 that David said, wash me whiter than snow. Meaning David said there were some things that's going on in my life that I can't contain, even my struggle with Bathsheba and having the lust of the flesh, knowing I should have been doing other things, but I went out and got with this woman, God, knowing it's wrong. Not only that, I killed her husband. Frontline demand. And this is the same thing you do with your mouth in the night, but you kill God's people with your words. Rather than draw them in with kind words, you twist it and you smother the word of God. And you afflict it in such a way that you spark fire in the hearts of a person and cause them to go into a dangerous action. You want them to come back at you or say something negative to you because you didn't know how to put the water on a situation. You don't have to douse the situation. You want to brawl a situation. And that's so many times, even when I was young and dumb, when I ran into a critical situation because I was a guy who worked, thought I was all this and all that, pumped up. You know, I would challenge words. I wasn't really a fighting person, period. But the things I'd done was really ignorant to the point of understanding that, you know, I thought as a child. I didn't think as a man of God in a way that it would help me. I was fueling the fire. In other words, I didn't know how to shut my mouth, like most of us don't know how to shut our mouth in a situation. We got to say something back at somebody. And if we don't say nothing back at somebody, we got to go out and tell somebody about what somebody else said, rather than take it to God in prayer. We got to say something with that little thing in our mouth. We got to say something. It'll make us feel much better rather than talking to the Lord to tell somebody else. And then they tell somebody else. And then, well, you know, I heard that. And all that stuff begins to start kindling up. It says in the 10th verse. I'm going to hear this real good in the 10th verse. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. Possess a tongue that's devoted, using the difference of language other than what Christ has given them, unable them to have. My brother, these things ought not so to be. If the Lord has his way in your heart and live, they won't be. Let me say that again. If the Lord has his way in your heart, even if you're still struggling, if you allow the Lord to clean you up, even though you may be still tipping a little bit on your vocabulary or still struggling some little bit with your anger, if the Lord lives in your heart. In fact, when we look in verse 3, if you allow the Holy Spirit to put bits of the Holy Ghost ring on you, on your mind, on your brain, Romans 12 and 2, and when you say something, he'll pull you not to say it. But some of us have ripped the reins right out of Christ's hands knowing that we weren't supposed to say it. See, what he's telling you in verse 3, away from verse 9, he's telling us that Even so, the tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. That's in verse 5. Take it back up to verse 2. For many things we offend all. Why? Because we boast language. We boast things. We always getting into conversations we ought not to get into. We always saying things about Sue or Sally. We're so unfocused when we go in the church of God. We want to look what homegirl got on, what homeboy got on. We don't hear the word of God. We want to say things. Girl, did you see what they had? It doesn't matter what they had if they were serving God. Even when the Holy Ghost begin to move, when people run down the highway and they fall and they don't care if their wig fall off back, you ought to think they want to. You ought to thank God that they want to be saved, rather than talking about them. I know she didn't have it. I know he did. What? Hold on a second. If you got your mind focused on what you're supposed to have it focused on, then you wouldn't be so busy looking at what else is going on. And that's the problem. You don't come to church to praise God. You come to church to boast about things it offend. But yet the same words come out of your mouth saying praise God. That's why he says in the ninth verse, that what you bless God, even the Father. I love the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And therewith curse we men, God's creation, in which are made after a multitude of God. Now, I want to go back up here and I want to look at something again. And it talks about the maul and the spear. When you say things about someone, it's like driving a wedge. Anybody know what a maul is or a mallet? It's made, it's a wooden hammer, and it's made for driving things without damaging the wedge, which is driving. In other words, like a rubber mallet. It's designed to work on surfaces where it won't cause problems. In other words, your words are like stilts. They're like pegs. They're like thorns. And when they drive in, the tongue drives them in to the point that sometimes you say things you don't even know if you offended somebody. But yet you say it anyway. But in return, that particular person, they bridle their tongue and say nothing back to you. Now, who do you think is the better person in that position? You that opened your mouth and made the person look bad because you feel you got off, I'm going to get it off my chest. Well, you need to keep it on your chest. You need to take it to God. That's why many of us are suffering ailments on the inside. Because rather than letting God deal with our stress, we'd rather take it out and cause condemnation to come up on ourselves. The word of God says, take it to the Lord in prayer. He'll work it out. Turn it over to Jesus. He'll work it out. We don't want to do that. We want to say something because we got that get-back spirit, that vaulting spirit, that crow-like spirit. We want to say something that'll make us feel like we got it all together. And when we say it, we want to make sure everybody knows. I know he ain't talking. Yeah, he's talking to you. And maybe if you learn to get yourself right in your mind and get yourself together, maybe you can receive something. And when you're a person who never can receive anything, you're going to have a problem. I'm going to read something to you. And I want you to really take character to this, what I'm speaking about. So many people just have, spicy language. I mean, they just don't know how to control their mouth. Their mindset is limited. They don't know they don't know any other word but use of words when they're mad at somebody. They don't know anything else but to say something like that, a worldly type language. Much can be said of a person's character by the way he uses their tongue. Come on, somebody. Speech is an index of the mind. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We see that in Matthew 12 and 34. According to Proverbs 18 and 21, death, notice this, in life is in the power of the tongue. Now look what it says. And they love it or eat the fruits thereof. James 3 and 6 says, the Bible says that the tongue is a fire. We just read that. Look what it says in James. Behold, we put pits in the horse's mouth. But James says in 8 that now the tongue is like a fire. It's unruly. It's full of deadly poison. It's bad. It speaks things it ought not to speak. You know, we talk about the lion tongue. We talk about what Proverbs 25 and 18 speaks about, a lion tongue. a man that breathes false witness against his neighbor. They say his tongue is like a maul. We talk about like a mallet in a sword, in a sharp arrow. So a lying tongue is misused of the deadly. Is misused like a deadly weapon. It can bring much harm. When you talk about somebody, put somebody down, you know, it's bad. You're mauling them. You're hammering the word into them, even though you don't see them. You're mauling the word and you're saying something about it. You're not to say. You should just say things about people that you're not to say. You ought to take into consideration that even though they don't hear you, but God hears you, even if they're a great distance away. See, when you look at a maul, that's when you're just a few feet away. You're just talking into their face, mauling them, hitting them with spears. You look at a sword, it deals with distance, you know. And Satan, when he gets with you, he fires the arrows, fiery darts. Satan is the father of lies, we know that. So we fire darts from here to over to wherever. You can fire darts anywhere, here to California, here to Mississippi, here to New Orleans, here to Alabama, here to Chicago, just talking about somebody. I remember instances in my family when something was going on, and I had something that took place with me, and I mean, it hit. I told somebody in my family about what was going on, the personal confidence, and that thing hit all over. Man, I had people calling me from everywhere. I said, well, how did you find that out? They didn't even give me time to even suggest that I should let them know about it. Maybe it's somebody they want you to know about. But now I find out that it's a lot of times you just can't tell people everything. Because when you tell them something, their tongue begins what you call a flattering tongue. It speaks out. The book of Psalms, and over in Psalms 5 and 9, imagine the importance of what you could be made in a nation of voters. You know, we looked at elected leaders based on a recorded record rather than what they say. In other words, what they're flattering is just from lying. In other words, flattery is just fluff. It's nothing real to it. It's flatter. It's just stuff thrown out there, and whoever pulls it down uses it. It's just fluff. It has nothing to do with truth. It's just somebody throw it in the air, like somebody says something about, well, you all heard that such and such, such and such. You know, then you catch it in the air, and you've been a fool about it, really, and you take that thing down. Well, you know, I heard you spread it. And you ought not even be like that, being a man or woman of God. You shouldn't even get involved with things like that. The Bible talks about the proud tongue. The Bible also speaks about the proud tongue. It says over in the book of Psalms 12, in that third and fourth verse, says that the Lord should cut off all flattering lips in a tongue that speak what? Proud things. Who have said, with our tongues we will prevail. That's somebody saying, I'm going to prevail. You got your own way that you're going to make it. You don't believe in the Holy Spirit. You believe your education. You believe your money. You believe all the things you have. You're above everybody else. You don't need God. You're going to prevail with your own mouth. You're going to speak your way up with our lips. They say our lips are our own. That's what it speaks over in Psalms 12. Let me read it out to you again. It says in Psalms 12, 3 and 4, that the Lord should cut off all flattering lips. Now, he says right there, I'm going to cut it all off. But this is what we say, in the tongue that speaketh proud things. But here we go. Who have said, with our tongues we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? This is one of the most, this is what you call an annoying Christian. One who just speaks unusual things. They don't even have any kind of, you know, they mouth this spicy language, it pops off and everything. You can't tell me how to say nothing. You can't tell me how to talk. Well, you might want to learn that for yourself if you want to get a reputation about yourself as good. Because I believe your reputation precedes you. It's your integrity. It's your ethics. It follows you. And what you have to learn how to do is tame that thing. Now, I'm going to be dealing with this series a little bit more during the course of this week. I think the next time I'm going to deal with it is probably on Sunday morning before we go over to Pastor Ron Shaw's church in 9:45 service. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, your tongue has got to be tamed. It's in such a way that it moves in such a way it hinders your blessings. It hinders all that God has in store for you. Now, this may not be a word that anybody want to hear tonight, but, you know, it matters to me not. But it matters to me if you want to hear it. Because just like I said, I'm not on the line for accolade. I'm not alone for popularity. My job is to do the word. And what I read to you today, the sins of the tongue, is one of the great things. And we deal with the first part of this thing, deal with the lying tongue and the flattering tongue. And we deal a little bit with the proud tongue. And James speaks about those things, about that type of tongue. And those will be the tongues that really is bringing you down. Men and women, God, you know, we love you here at Harvest New Life Church. And I'm telling you, we don't ever want to see you getting pushed to a point that somebody's got to tempt you so bad that your mind ain't lined up according to Romans 12:2, that you just got to come unglued on the situation. And your mind, your mouth begin to speak things it ought not to speak. I'm praying for tongues tonight in the name of Jesus. And as I pray for tongues, I'm offering a word of salvation to those who want to be saved, for those who want deliverance in their life, for those who's going through change in their life, that all more accept Christ. So I said before, you ain't got to be before a large body of people to receive Christ, to receive what the Lord has in store for you. All you got to do is open your mouth according to Romans 8, 9, and 10. He said, where is the word? It's in your mouth. And if you can speak that word in your mouth, God will deliver you for whatever it is that's dealing with you. Come on, somebody. I know God is able to do it because he said it in his word. He said his word won't go void. So even as we deal with our mouths and deal with things of the misuse of the language toward other people, we got to have a forgiveness heart. We got to have a forgiving heart, excuse me. If we ever going to receive what God has in store for us, we got to learn how to forgive. And if we can't forgive, ladies and gentlemen, it's a hard road. I mean, it's a hard road. Because we got to realize and understand that it's Christ that we will receive the blessings. The word of God declares it's the blessings of the Lord. It makes you rich. Everything that I spoke about, deal with the 10 laws from the talent, deal with the General Assembly of the firstborn, is when you line up with Christ, when you hear the word of God, you receive that what he has in store for you. And if you can't receive and come under the subjection of the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be lost. You're going to have a rough way to go. Those of you who are dealing with anger, those who deal with the loose lips, deal with the loose tongue, you got to bring it under control. You cannot continue to work in the body of Christ, especially in leadership, and then call yourself a Christian, but at home, you're getting into these battling arguments with your kids. You're getting these battling arguments with your husband. You're getting these battling arguments with sisters and brothers or your mother. You're throwing them aside. You're saying all kind of matter of things about them that you ought not to say, but yet you come into the house of God with a smile on your face, but you got a crack in your foundation. You messed up, and you really need to get that thing together. You can't continue to keep on professing Christ and continue to walk wrong. He told you right here in the Word. You know, the tongue, in the 8th verse, he said, but the tongue no man can tame. It is unruly. Well, I got a word for that. It is full of deadly poison. You know what's full of deadly poison? Do you get rid of deadly poison? It's an antidote. That antidote is called the power of God and the power of the revelation of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be delivered from whatever it is that's alienating you, we're not saying it's alienating you because it's an alien in you because God never put it in you. We talk about in the book of Galatians how the spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit. The Bible declares and decrees, according to Galatians 5, that you are to walk in the spirit, that you not receive the lust of the flesh. All this is dealing with lining up and getting your tongue together. Let me tell you something. Even though the word of God talks about how a ship is such great and is pulled by such great force of wind, and wherever the stern leads it, your body is full of members. Your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your limbs, your legs, your toes, your feet. All that's a part of you. That's your ship. Your body is the ship. But that little tongue in your mouth can cause your body to come under bondage, cause you to come under dislikeness, cause you to fall under iniquity, cause you to fall under condemnation, cause you to fall under a lot of things that God never promised for you to have. The tongue can boast so many things that it can cause so much fire in your life that everything around you just get burned up. Not in a good way, but in a bad way. But what you really want to do is let the Holy Spirit come in here and burn that stuff out of you. And the Holy Ghost said that it'll shake off everything in your life that's not like God. We spoke about this over in the book of Hebrews, over in Hebrews 12 and 23. He talked about the General Assembly of the firstborn, the ghosts who are registered in heaven. When you learn that you can be registered in heaven and learn to walk with Christ, you receive the abundance of Christ. The Bible does declare, according to Psalms 84:11, no good thing will I hold from those. even when it seems difficult. He gives you a scripture for that also. In James 32:17, is there anything too hard for God to do? I don't care what you deal in your body. Your tongue is so powerful. It got the ability, according to Romans 4:17, to call things. That's what it says. You've been children of Abraham. We've been men and God of Abraham. We are covered with the Abrahamic blessings. We got the ability to call things and declare things to be not the way they were. It doesn't matter what anybody will say about you. It doesn't matter if anybody say you're popular. Your Father in heaven loves you. He created you in his own image. His desire is for you to live and have life more effectively, more abundantly. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, those who want to call in for prayer, if you're dealing with some things, you want to call in. Don't be shy. Don't be blue, whatever you may call it. You know, you want to understand that in God there is salvation. In God there is deliverance. In God there is a power in the presence of the Holy Spirit to knock out everything that's not like God. And you got to declare with your mouth and decree it. And you got to speak according to Romans 8:9-10, 10:8-9, and you got to declare the word. The Bible said, where is the word? It's in your mouth. He's giving you lead way of the tongue right there, free will of the tongue to speak things and to declare things in your life. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you're dealing with, and I don't know what you're going through, but I'm telling you, even on these broadcasts, you can be delivered. This is a word that comes straight from the kingdom, and I believe that even as we continue to get started on these broadcasts, just like I said, my voice might not be likable to other people. I may not have that persona type voice that you want to hear. I may not have that Bill Winston, that TDJ, and I'm not trying to be like them. I run my own race. God has given me this voice to speak the way I want it, what he want me to speak it. And if there's a remnant God has in store for me, so be it. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm not trying to be like anybody else. I'm trying to run my race. Whether you like the way I speak or not, that's up to you. But I tell you, if you line up this word in the spirit, I guarantee you, it'll hit you across the head like a rock. And it'll get you where you need to be. And the prayers that I pray for those who are in disarray, those who are going through things, I guarantee you can be loosed. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you've been dealing with, and who said anything about you. I don't care if you land on a bed of affliction right now. Your tongue has got the ability, by confessing the words, that you may be healed. God will never get involved with your situation if you don't intervene and let him in. The Bible says a fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means I heard the man of God over there speak one day. I can't think of the man of God name. Matter of fact, Tony Evans. I heard Tony Evans say in one of his services I was there, he said, a kingdom would never get involved with your earthly situation until you let God in. And how do you let God in? Prayer is powerful. Those of you who say, well, I pray for myself. You need to come together in unity, as it says in Psalms 133. How good is for man to dwell together in unity. When you begin to receive prayer in unity and power, that's when it begins to hit the door of the situation. That prayer, that problem that you're dealing, it begins to pound on that door. The people are praying for you. It begins to knock that thing down. Before you know, that thing will fall flat over. And you'll be delivered from whatever it is the enemy is trying to hold you back on. You're bound with drugs. You're bound with sexual addictions. You're bound with cancer. You're bound with back problems. I'm telling you, God can loose anything. The word of God says, is there anything too hard for him to do? He said his word will not go void. He said he got the power to do everything. He said that in therein. The word does decree and it declared according to Psalms 89:34 that he will not go back on his covenant. He will vindicate his word. He will do what he said he's going to do, but it takes you to activate it. And when you activate God's word, it's with your mouth. If you can't understand that, then you're going to have a hard way to go. And this is where we run into the problems at, because we don't want to open our mouth to Christ and receive what God has in store for us. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear what the word of God has to say on today and receive this word, your 2014 season is already on its way. Because there are some things I feel in the spirit about some people that's dealing with a lot of bad things in their household as of right now. Their friends speaking about things, saying about things, going to fast with your tongue and learning how to hold that tongue. The number for those who call in who want to receive prayer or salvation, you can call in. The number is 347-637-1074. Now, say it once again, as I be able to get these announcements back again, I give you the opportunity to call in. We're going to be over at Light Church, 2606 John West Road in Mesquite. That's zip code 75150. That's Pastor Ron and Vita Shaw. And we'll be over to celebrate with them. I believe it's the First Lady's birthday. And we want to honor her in the name of Jesus for all she's been with the man of God and all that they have been doing. And we just bless them in the name of Jesus. We declare that it be a supernatural time. And for you to come out and be a part of this great teacher. He is a great teacher. I mean, he's a great teacher. He's a teacher's teacher. And that's what we need in the body of Christ now. We don't need a bunch of hooping and hollering and shouting. We need people to sit down and hear and listen and get their pads and get their notebooks and read the Word of God and meditate on it. As it said in the book of Joshua, you got to meditate on the Word of God. In my house, we will serve the Lord. As I said before, those who want to call in concerning this prayer is about to take place can do. The number, once again, is 347-637-1074. Amen. God bless you in the name of Jesus. We're going to our road of salvation for those who want to receive Christ. I don't know who you are and what you're going through, but I'm telling you one thing. God loves you. Sin separated you from God. Come on, somebody. Jesus died for your sins. You can receive Jesus right now. You ain't got to wait not 1 second. Your whole life can change at the snap of your finger. At the snap of your tongue, you can be changed. You can be delivered from whatever it is you're dealing with. I don't care what you're dealing with. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what kind of physicality you got. You can be delivered from whatever it is. The Bible said, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God did raise him from the dead, you shall be saved. The Bible declares in Isaiah 53 that he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. That means, notice what I'm saying? He was bruised. All these things was a was. He was bruised for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon you. It was upon you. And by his stripes, you're already healed. Meaning, you ain't got to deal with nothing. The Word of God does declare, when you pray this prayer out loud, with me as I'm getting ready to pray it now, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins. I open my heart to let Jesus come inside of me, inside of me. Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I mean, you're confessing to him. You're writing a contract with him with your mouth. I believe you died for my sins, and you were raised from the dead. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. You want to be cleansed. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm telling you, if this is a true word, I'm telling you, you need to find somewhere and find somebody that you can tell them to, that, hey, I just got saved. What did you say? Over radio. Over where? At Pastor Ellis' church. Right on the radio. I got saved through the power of God. I got delivered right there on the broadcast. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the power of God is present in demonstrating to do all it can do. It's present to do everything it's designed to do. The word declares over in the book of Matthew 15, he said the people came together. Some was lame. Some was blind, lame, sick, and afflicted. Ain't no telling what they was going through. That's just an opening of what kind of disease and sickness he was dealing with. And God was healing every last one of them. I'm telling you, the word is the same today as it was yesterday. You can be delivered. You can be saved. You can be sanctified. You can be filled with the present power of the Holy Spirit right now. Even as I begin to open my mouth and begin to pray, I'm going to have the first lady to come in, speak on the subject on tonight, give those of you a time to call in and be a part of the show before we pray. And the number to call in is 347-637-1074. Let's hear what the Word of God has to say. Don't be shy. Come on in. If you really want to be saved, if you really want to be delivered, let this prayer hit you in the head and take you out of everything that you're dealing with. Because I'm guaranteeing you, once it touch you, it'll be just like the Word of God said in Psalms 1:3. It'll be like the oil, which represents the blood, that flows from the top of Aaron's head, down his beard, down his skirt, down to his gum. That means it'll heal you from everything that you ever been dealing with and ever come across. You don't need a five-step program. You need one-step program over here. And that's announcing God's word that you may be delivered from whatever it is that you're dealing with. I'm going to open the mic up for the first lady and let her come on in and hear what she has to say concerning this service on this afternoon. Co-Pastor Patty?
Yes. I would like to go back to James 3 and 10.
Amen.
You had mentioned about read the scripture about the what comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
You know, bitter and sweet.
Amen.
What do you think, and I'm saying a why to put the question out there to everybody. Why do you think that the Lord gives us these scriptures about the tongue? Is it something that we use every single day? I used to tell my daughter when she was young, when she was a teenager, that you don't have to always say what's on your mind. Do you, this is another question I'm putting out there, do you pray before you open your mouth? Or do you just react?
Lord have mercy.
Once you take something and put it out there that it comes out of your mouth, that's not something you can put right back in. You may forget about what you say, whether it's good or bad, but you don't know the impact that words have on His people, on God's people. And as servants of God, we have to watch what we say. Earlier in the scripture was bridling the tongue. We have to control what we say. We can't just say whatever we want to say whenever we want to say it. Because we all come from, as long as we have this flesh on our bones, we're going to have feelings. And we have to control that. Because you never know when non-believers are watching us and other believers, you know, watching those servants of God, you could cause somebody to fall.
Amen. Lord,
you may not think about that, but you could cause somebody to fall away from God. And you also can cause somebody to come to God. That's why God is saying that, you know, you have this little member of your body that is so powerful that we need to watch it. You know, you probably have been around other people that have just said whatever they wanted to say when they wanted to say it. And, you know, they might have hurt your feelings. Just think about those times and just think about how important it is that we watch everything that we say. God has really worked with me over the years of just being humble and being humble to be humble to God. To pray, maybe in those situations that maybe you're in a stressful situation, but to pray and Lord, give me the words to say, or Lord, help me to just keep my mouth closed. I have prayed those specific prayers, and it's very simple because I know that what comes out that I'm going to be held accountable for it. And God has had me on one specific instance where I spoke something that God made me apologize. You know, He gives us free will, but I want to continue to do His will. So, yes, He did convict me, you know, and that's a good thing. You know, that God shows me that God's working in my life. But at the same time, I have to be a responsible servant to Him. And these scriptures, the tongue is so strong. These scriptures are so powerful. And I encourage you all to go back over those scriptures and to read them. And what is the Lord saying to you about these scriptures? Maybe it's for you. Maybe it's for you to share with somebody else. But this, whenever we talk about the tongue, it always just comes into my very, very being. And the Lord just speaks to me about how important that is. I was talking with somebody today and counseling with them about something that's going on in their life, and I started thinking about the tongue, that what I say to this person could really, it could be helpful or it could be very damaging. But we have
Amen.
To be careful that we don't put our judgment in there.
Amen.
That we do have to pray. You know, pray Amen. Without ceasing. That means praying all day long. Praying that we are guided by God's word. Not by our word, but by God's word. Amen.
Amen.
And I'd like to turn it back over to you, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you, woman of God. I mean, you, just right there, you know, I tell you, you got to go out and hear this woman of God teach. I'm telling you, we you know, we believe here at Harvest House. I mean, we're not into status quo. I'm telling you, we know what, it ain't about me. It's about the kingdom. And I challenge any man of God out there to tell me that it's all about the bricks and the mortar. You know, if that's what you want, that's fine. But you know what? I wear a different type of jersey. I'm a defensive back for the kingdom. You may play a linebacker, you may be a quarterback. Go ahead. I just want to be on the team. And when I be on the team, I want to do my part. And I'm telling you, I try to intercept everything that come my way and bring it back for a touchdown. And that's my job. So with that, we just want to open up with prayer. Those who you want to join in for prayer, want prayer, you can do so. You can send in the word through the chat that you want prayer, or you can just come into the radio station and just say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. And there's some things I'm dealing with in my family. There's some things that's happening in my life, and I just want you to pray for me. And you know what? Sometimes your pride will stop you from doing that because you think you arrived, or you think you can't receive from somebody with such a small congregation of people, that you got to be in that mega style where you receive, that that the words of the dictionary pricks your mind to make you feel, no, God, you ain't got to do all that. And the word of God does declare, who is Paul or who is Apollo? In other words, who's the one that's going to give you the deliverance? Who's the one going to save you? You know, all we are is mouthpieces for the kingdom of God. All of us are on the team. Some great players, some less than great players. It all depends on how you put it together. Because I'm telling you, the majority ain't always right. Just because you have a house and arena full of everything, that's all this information you got out there about it, you know, I mean, I'm not putting anybody down for having mega ministries. I'm putting out a great ministry because I believe we're headed in the same direction. But until God says it's going to be in that direction, until he give me the vision to continue to move the way he want me to move, you know, I got to work with what he got me now. This is my season now. And the season I'm in is a great season. It's a lovely season. And I'm telling you, me and my wife loves it. And I'm telling you, we open the door to all comers. We don't need the suits. We don't need the ties. We don't need the fancy suits. We need your soul. And if you come into this building and come in and be with us and hear what the radio God has to say on this radio station, that's what we want. We offer all comers from every walk of life. And we are multiracial ministry. I mean, we're ethnicity, a diversity of people. You know, we just ain't all one nation of people, all one color. We're a different diversity of people. So I'm telling you, man and woman of God, if there's ever a place you want to be a part of, you know, I'm telling you, God, just make this place a bouquet. You know, even on this radio station, as we preach the word of God. See, you got to see it before you can get it. And if you can't see it and you can't speak it, then you can't have it. Your mind will never reflect or more than what you can see. If you can't see it, then you can't have it. In other words, if your mind can't see it, you can't receive it. And you got to look beyond what you see with your natural eyes. You got to look in the spirit. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare this word to come forth. I decree it, Father God, that it's already penetrated the kingdom of the heavens. Father God, I come against every foreign disease and every hindering spirit to try to dodge that what you have brought out today. Lord, I loose the minds of every individual that's going through any kind of proclivities in their life, any kind of problems that can hold them back. Lord, I'm asking you to loose their spirit in the name of Jesus. I come against every form of sickness and disease in the body of any individual. Lord, I'm asking you to bring back the broken marriages. Heal the man, heal the woman of God, Lord, that the children may be saved. Lord, don't let genocide come into their family. Don't let the breakup, the heirs of divorces begin to move out the borders of what it's designed to be. Let the covenant continue to be as one. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus for us being obedient to pray for your people. Lord, we declare that even upon their life, Lord, that thyroid disease has got to drop from their body. Cancer has got to fall off. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I plead the blood right now that even as I pray, Father God, I believe it's already coming forth. I believe, Father God, once you set your word forth, Lord, and in the hearts of the believer, Lord, I believe nothing can stop it. And Father God, I'm asking you to give your people faith, Father God. Don't give them atmosphere, but give them faith, Father God. It's not about the multitude, but give them faith, Father God. It's not about all the accolades they have around them to make them feel superior, though. It's about their faith. Father God, give our people more faith, Father God, that even as they walk according to the will and the purpose and the course of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they receive everything that you have in store for them. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for blessing their household, for blessing the families, Father God, for blessing the ones who are lost and went on, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, heal that family right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare right now by the power of your spirit, Father God, that it be loose, Father God, every pain and every problem, every unnegative mindset, mindset in the heart of every individual, Lord, has got to fall in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray that the scales fall from their eyes, that they may see in the spirit that what you have in store for them, Father God. Your word is decreed and declared all this time, Father God, that whoever call upon me in a time of need, that I'm more just and great and mercy to deliver them for whatever it may be that's in their life. Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for all the listeners who are listening, for all the ones who came not on the line to receive that prayer, what they so badly needed, Father God. I thank you, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus for delivering them, Father God, in every area of their life. I thank you, Father God, for all that they have in store. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for their future, Father God. I thank you for the plans that you have for them according to Jeremiah 29:11. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you will not alter your covenants in their life, that you continue to move in their life in such a way that they be mesmerized by the power of what you're able to do. Father God, these things I can't ask of myself, but I ask of the power of the Most High God. I decree and declare the call to come forth. I know it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, that you will move according to your will, your purpose, and your power, that they be delivered for whatever it may be that's alienating them in their life. Father God, deliver your people in the name of Jesus. Let your holy hands fall upon them right now, Lord. Let them be received as they lay hands on themselves and prophesy a word of God of healing in their body, healing in their finances, healing in their marriage, healing the children, Father God. Put a hedge around every one of them, Lord. Your word is declared to suffer every one of the young children that come unto me, that forbid them not as such of the kingdom of God. Lord, I declare the word of God will spring forth like fire, Father God, and begin to cleanse, Lord, and loose everything and burn up everything that's not like God. And their tongue will be tamed, but they have filthy all their words through the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, these things I decree not of myself, for the power of the Most High God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. Once again, this is Pastor Charles Ellis and Co-Pastor Patty Ellis here at Harvest New Life Church, and we will not be in our service on tomorrow. We'll be entertaining Pastor Ron and Vita Shaw over at Lighthouse Church. And once again, it's 2606 John West Road in Mesquite, Texas. For those of you who want to call, you can call for directions. It's 214-320-5744, or you can go to the website, which is www.lighthousechurch.com. www.lightchurch.com. I almost put Harvest in there, but also you can get a hold of us. Also, look up our website. We have prayer requests that you can leave for those who need prayer. If you so badly want to get donations, you can do that. There's an address on the screen that you can send to. It doesn't matter what you send. Just send a donation to the ministry. I tell you, every penny helps us here at the Harvest New Life Church. And we're moving in the course of direction that God wants us to move in. We're moving in that course of direction that God wants us to move in. And we just thank God for everything that he's doing in our life and around our life and within our life. We thank you for our prayer, for your prayers, We thank you for everything that you've been just asking God to do for us. And we just really love you, and we just ask you to continue to pray for us as we pray for you. We just know that through you, that what we're doing won't be accomplished. It won't be available without your prayers. And we just like to say we love you, we care for you, and we want to leave you with this song once again, a word that comes from Bishop Raymond Johnson about the power. You hadn't heard this one in a while. About Bishop Raymond Johnson, about the woman who had the power to speak to a tornado. God bless you. God keep you.
Deliverance. I receive my help. I receive strength. I'm taking off like a 757. I got to tell this story before I quit. I watched the news yesterday, and you know, for the last 2 or 3 days, it's been bad weather all up in the north. Tornadoes everywhere. But I saw a little news clip. This little woman, I think it was in Kentucky, a giant tornado was right out almost in her front yard. You could see it in the distance, and it was coming right at her. Somebody had the video camera on, and that little woman was out there. Don't tell me what God can do for you. That tornado was eating up everything in its sight, tearing up houses and buildings and stores and throwing school buses around like matchsticks. You can see her on that little video. She put her hand out there and said, "Tornado, get away from here in the name of Jesus. You got to get away from my house. Get away from my property." Can I tell you what Sister Gail began to do? She prayed a while in English. Then she said, "Don't tell me what God can't do to get his word out. Everybody watch CNN. They don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. But they got this little woman on there speak it to a tornado in the name of Jesus. See, the weatherman couldn't do it. The meteorologist couldn't do it. The politician couldn't do it. But one little woman stood her ground and said, in the name, God, I know you got power. A tornado got power. But my God got no power. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you what happened? That thing got to running. That thing got to getting out of here. Not one board on her house was broken. Not one thing in her yard was touched. And everybody around the world, look it up on YouTube. Look it up on CNN. Baby, talk to that thing in Jesus' name. Talk to God in the Holy Ghost. That's why you need to be full of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. That tornado didn't know what she was saying. But God in heaven knew what she said. God put his arms out and protect her. Just like when the wind came against the disciples, he commanded, say, peace, be still. Wind, shut your mouth. Get away from that believer. He will. If he did it for her, God will do it for you. If he do it for my children, God will do it for your children. If God bless you, he'll bless everybody up in here. Somebody say, God, you are healer. God, you are deliverer. I'm not leaving here until I get blessed. I'm not going to stop until the power, fire, the power loose up in here. Somebody say, Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Not just from me. Deliver me from my enemies. Deliver me from the trick of the devil. Clap your hands, everybody.